And in this talk today, I will be focusing on how you can leverage what is inside that box to basically build out your own more advanced tool sets. And in terms of developer productivity, there's a whole lot that you can gain by doing that. And I think that a lot of us actually have been doing that for SharePoint 27 as well, but perhaps not in an as integrated way as you will find when doing Visual Studio 2010-based extensions, because they actually make it very easy for you to build out your own tools on top of Visual Studio 2010. And that's going to be very exciting, right? Especially the ease with which you can do that. So if you take a look at where we're coming from, actually, I was a little bit in a Christmassy mood when I created these slides, as you may see. We have the developer of SharePoint Past. You might call it the ghost of SharePoint Past because development story, well, semi-available, right? It was kind of complex, difficult to do, very low tooling, and the tool versus the different products that you could build for was not in, in an optimal form. A lot of products, very little tools, and that's, of course, not what you like to see. You like to be able to focus, and you like to have the tools to get your job done, and that's definitely something that I didn't find in SharePoint 23, and that was the first time that I got to work with SharePoint, actually. Who is actually has experience before SharePoint 23? So that must have been like another step worse, right? Tools, huh? Could you even develop for that? It was all script code. Yeah, so if you now take a look at where we're at currently, it's the ghost of the developer of SharePoint present. It's, of course, a whole different ballgame, right? SharePoint development got fun, at least for me. I find it very much fun. Of course, you still have all kinds of difficulties and complexities because SharePoint is a big product, right? So you still need to know your camel. And you still need to know that if you create a content type and you don't add field refs in there, then, well, basically you made a small boo-boo that you need to fix up. And stuff will happen on your server, right? But if you take a look at how you can now build for SharePoint, a lot of it has changed. You either have community-based tools or Microsoft-supported tools in the form of Visual Studio extensions for WSS. And might I be able to get a show of hands, how many of you are using Visual Studio extensions currently? So that's a few of you. If I take a look at the official Microsoft numbering, it's about half of all SharePoint developers in the world that use Visual Studio extensions. And the rest is most likely going to be the community tool that everybody uses, of course. And, well, the name is, of course, quite familiar, WSP Builder, right? That's what most people are doing. I, of course, was a little bit finicky. Well, WSP Builder is kind of cool, but it's not really integrated well into Visual Studio, right? So one thing that really annoys me as a developer is you install WSP Builder, and now you create a console app, and what do you get? You get deployed to SharePoint buttons. What's up with that? So if you take a look at these tools, we had both Visual Studio extensions, which were quite integrated into Visual Studio, but not really capable of doing anything and everything that you as a SharePoint developer need to do, which, of course, is a diminishing value for such a product because, you know, what are you going to do? Do two things at the same time? No, you basically drop one, do something else, right? So if you take a look at WSP Builder, quite powerful, but I don't know about the level of integration that they have with Visual Studio, the extensibility, how we can adapt that tool to basically further along our development experience in the world of, well, professional development, nightly builds, and team system, and all the things that, of course, for, well, normal non-SharePoint developers, it's very common and available. So I basically did another thing, and that was to use MS Build-based customization, where you just use MS Build to call out the packaging using makecap.exe, and where you just go ahead and call STS-ADM to install features and do Xcopy, which also had a lot of benefits because if you take a look at WSP Builder, that's a full deploy, right? At least most of the time, and later on it got some Xcopy stuff as well. MS Build for me was handy because it was purely Xcopy-based, really fast, very sweet. But sometimes you're debugging stale code and you're looking, why is this happening? Well, because it's not the current version, right? It's the previous one from all the days past, and, well, it's not what you want to see. So there's all kinds of benefits in all these different tools that we do have, but there's not one ubiquitous tool that everybody uses. So how many of you visited Steve's session just now about the SharePoint tools in Visual Studio? Exciting stuff, right? So if you take a look at where we're moving to the world of professional development. So instead of it being like swear word where you say you're a SharePoint developer. No, I don't want to be a SharePoint developer. There's no tools there. Now, of course, you now get full sets of tools which are fully integrated into Visual Studio, meaning that we can now do stuff like integrate with source control very easily. Package up a WSP using nothing more but MS Build, meaning that you can easily integrate that into, well, nightly build stuff like that. But the tools do actually so much more than that. And that's the thing that I'll be talking about today. Because if you take a look at it, I had the opportunity to speak with the product teams back in 2008 already, when these tools were being envisioned. And they showed us some of the things that they were building. And one of the primary messages that they gave over there was, listen, we have these tools. First of all, they're totally built from scratch, right? It's not Visual Studio extensions and then modified a bit to make it even less of a black box than it already was. No, it's totally rebuilt from scratch by the Visual Studio team, meaning that the level of knowledge with Visual Studio integration is so much higher than when you take some SharePoint guys and make them build Visual Studio tools. No, it were Visual Studio guys that were building packaging Visual Studio stuff, and sometimes they didn't know what to do, like, for instance, a WebPart template. Do you add exception handling inside the template or don't you? And then they went to the community, to people like Ted Patterson, Andrew Connell, asked around, what do you think is best to do over here? So they basically took best practices, pushed them in a tool that follows Visual Studio extensibility best practices as well. And next, the second message that they had over there was, guys, we understand your need, that every SharePoint developer needs to be able to do something a little bit differently. A good example would be deployment, right? Sometimes you need to do a full retract deploy. Most of the time you don't want to do that because feature event receivers get called again if you do that, so you want to do an upgrade. And if you want to be really quick, you do an X copy deployment and then just do an IIS roll, Apple reset, Apple recycle, and you go from there. And even faster might even be X copy a single file as soon as you save it, right? So you can do all kinds of nifty things that going to go ahead and drive your development experience. So the message that they had over there was, hey, in our tools, we will not be able to support everything that any developer wants or does. So instead of just go ahead and supporting everything or pushing it on into the product, we first of all built a base layer that is fully extensible. And on top of that layer, we build out our own tools. So all the tools that you see in Visual Studio, like the SAN or like the Visual Web Part, right, which is kind of advanced and neat, you can add it in there. You have refactoring support, so if you change the name of a class, it actually picks it up. Change the name of your ACX file, it picks it up, modifies the code for you. So you cannot get any skews between, well, naming that you could get in Visual Studio extensions, right, where you had a GUID and you actually accidentally changed it, so now it doesn't really know what a web part is anymore, that kind of stuff. So it fully supports all that refactoring stuff as well. But they basically build that as the core system of that whole platform. And that's a very exciting aspect, meaning that you can now build your own extensions on top of that to, well, basically further enhance your development experience. And I've got some nice announcements to make about how we as a community can drive that experience a bit further than what you get out of the box. For instance, out of the box, what is missing? X copy deployment. Notably, I would say, what every developer needs in order to be productive, right? Because if you change a single letter, and now you need to wait until it's retracted, deployed, created, and stuff like that, it's going to be, well, time-consuming in the least. And, of course, you want to be more productive in that way. So introducing Visual Studio 2010, the SharePoint project system. It is a fully new project system. What does that mean? That under the covers, you have a CS project file, right? But if you take a look at the contents of your CS project file, there's a GUID pointing to a factory for, well, customizing the environment for that particular project type. And they have all kinds of hooks and knobs to do stuff, like adding a deploy button into your right-click menu if you click on a project, right? Something like that. So that project system, that is the stuff that Microsoft has, well, made available to us. And it's also something that we can start extending on. If you take a look at, Steve may have told you this, probably he did, that you do need to have SharePoint locally installed. So that is not going away. The reason why that is of course, integration, right? You can imagine it being very useful to be able to go into the SharePoint Explorer, explore every little bit of content that you have in your SharePoint site. A good example would be like web parts, where you'll be able to right-click a web part and you can say, copy it into my project as an item. Or you can right-click a master page that somebody has customized using SharePoint Designer, and now you like it. So it's a typical development approach, right? You take SPD, which is very good at doing visual stuff, not as good as in with packaging and stuff like that. So you basically go ahead, browse into the master page, right-click it, and move that as an SPI, a SharePoint project item, into your project that you can now deploy. And, of course, we do have that whole save site as template, get a WSP back and do stuff like that. But, of course, the whole experience that you get by fully integrating that into the product is going to be much, much well more improved than when you do like a full WSP import, for instance. So if you take a look at all that stuff, very interesting, we want to start extending. How many of you have got their own, well, build and software development factory for SharePoint? I think many companies do, so let me get a show of hands on that. So that's about 10 of you, where you typically see guidance packages being created, stuff like that, where people integrate further into Visual Studio. And that's, of course, something that we can now start doing as well as a, well, set of goals. So in terms of how difficult that all is, I've been building Visual Studio extensions for quite some time now. And I think it's very much fun. I used to use the managed packaging framework, which sits on top of the COM interfaces of Visual Studio, to do it using .NET. And for instance, at one point in time, I implemented a visual designer for XML files, where it syncs up with your XML, so you have both the XML view and the visual view, just like a Windows form, for instance, where you also have that separation. And then, of course, you have a little bit of benefit that way by doing some visual design, right? Visual is always better than typing. People forget what they need to type, and sometimes it's quite complex what they need to type. Site column IDs. Now let's go ahead and look that up. So the good thing about all of this is that it's actually going to be easy to do, because typically extensions of Visual Studio, they are really, really, really hard. It's just that simple. Visual Studio is COM-based. First of all, that is a different world if you're a SharePoint or a C-sharp or SharePoint developer, right? It's totally strange and awkward. And if you take a look at the amount of effort that you need to take to actually, for instance, add a menu item into the project context menu, you need to create XML files to define the menu item. You need to create some code to basically say, hey, this command exists. Next, you need to have it pop up over there, and now you have all kinds of hookups and it's working. So that's not going to be a two lines of code experience. It's going to be at least two files, code and XML. There are about 10, 15 lines of code using all kinds of COM interfaces that you've never heard of. So you see that's going to be super complex for people to integrate with. And basically the SharePoint project system wraps around what you have inside Visual Studio and provides you a managed API that's going to be super easy to use. Also, in terms of packaging, if you take a look at Visual Studio extensions, one thing I never did for Visual Studio 28 and 25 was actually go ahead and ship that. Because what do you need? Well, basically, you need to have something called a package load key. Otherwise, you're not allowed to load. And you need to go ahead and call Microsoft to get one of those. And it's going to take some time. And then you need to look at your code. And it's just a whole process, right? And in terms of doing that, a lot of complexity there again. We now have a new model called MEF, the Managed Extensibility Framework, that allows you to easily discover extensions. And we have a new way of packaging that up called VSIX. And using that system, we have very nice and easy-to-use templates in Visual Studio to start building out extensions for Visual Studio itself. So that's a little bit of dog food going on right there, right? Use Visual Studio to extend Visual Studio, kind of fun. But it's going to be super easy to do with just a few keys, one F5 press, and you're ready to go. So that's kind of going to be very nice to do. So in terms of, why do you want to do that? Well, I think it's going to be quite clear. Productivity, right? You just can be more productive by further integrating into the tool set, by allowing import and export functionality on live SharePoint sites, for instance, creating new types of deployment modes. All these different things can be very productive for you, including something like nightly builds, professional development, things that were typically outside of the reach of the average SharePoint developer. If you take a look at Visual Studio, how they handled that, one of the nice things that you can get out of Visual Studio extensions is that you have a nice testing environment called, not the Visual Studio Greenfield, would be a nice name, but basically Visual Studio locates everything about extensions based on registry key hives. And what you can do is you can load up Visual Studio in something called the experimental key, using the experimental key, which is 10.0 exp, typically. And that means that that extension is only available when you run that experimental instance of Visual Studio, meaning that you can do it on your local Visual Studio box without actually messing up your normal development life, which would be a bit painful, right? So you can actually take a look at that. If you open up Visual Studio or the registry after you have deployed an extension, you'll notice that there's just a whole new registry key available to you, and all your stuff gets registered under there. And you can also reset it and go ahead and ensure that, well, latest versions of stuff get installed, stuff like that. So that's going to keep your environment from, well, dirtying up a little bit. So if you take a look at SharePoint extensions, what can you do? A few different things. First of all, we have seen the SharePoint Explorer, right? I think a very exciting aspect of Visual Studio. It allows you to explore into SharePoint from the site collection and below. And you could add, for instance, import-export functionality to that, file editing capabilities, stuff like that. So that's going to be the first area where you can start to extend. Exploration is something that we call it in a set of tools that I've built recently. Next, you have content, typically new template for stuff. Good example, a custom action template, where you can easily create a custom action, right? Including the location and the group IDs, which are well matched up for you, so you don't have a chance of messing up that stuff. So that might be a good example of creating a template. And the nice thing about these templates is that you can attach some code to your specific template. So every time it's used inside a Visual Studio project, your code gets hooked up to that, meaning that you can support stuff like refactoring events. And you can, for instance, go ahead and, well, add menu items to the context menu. You can determine what shows inside the property window if you select your SPI, if you select your template, your item. So all kinds of interesting stuff over there. And, of course, you can envision all kinds of nifty templates to drive all kinds of development experiences. So if you take a look at the SharePoint value proposition, also known as the SharePoint PI, right? So, you, for instance, content, WCM, ECM, all kinds of interesting templates for that, records routers, well, whatever you want to go ahead and insert into there, page layouts, stuff like that, right? It's not available out of the box, but I think most of us need that. How many of you develop ECM and WCM solutions? Just a few of you. So most of you on Foundation then? And public-facing websites, also a big thing for people? A few. That's cool. So next we have the world of packaging and deployment, which is a separate area, especially deployment, not as much packaging, right? Visual Studio knows packaging now. Did Steve show you the property window where you can exactly specify where this file gets deployed to inside SharePoint by basically saying it's an element file, so it needs to go from the feature directory onward, or it's a template file from the template directory onward, so it knows all about that stuff. But in terms of deployment, there's all kinds of cool extensions that you can envision there as well. A good example would be, I am a SharePoint developer, and I would like to have a clean site to test my stuff in as soon as I hit F5. So you might create a new deployment step that basically goes into your SharePoint environment, throws away the site collection, and recreates it. So by the time that you actually open up the browser and the debugger attaches, you have a totally clean, guaranteed clean SharePoint site, so you're not looking at stale data. So that's going to be very easy to do with just a few lines of code. You can actually go ahead and extend it that way. And then we have also an area. I messed my slide up a bit. It's packaging and deployment should not be combined, but there's also the world of the environment itself and what you can do with that. Well, basically the Visual Studio environment, right? So one extension that you may have seen on my blog already is the SharePoint References tab. So if you have the add reference dialog, what do we always need to do? We need to find SharePoint assemblies, right? Where are they? Program files, command files. So you do browse and you locate them. It's kind of painful. OpenTab Recent is also something that, actually, I don't use that tab. Did you know that? Well, now you do. But that's also, of course, an option. But still, it doesn't list, well, everything. It only lists your recent items. So if you want to go ahead and reference the BDC, or the BCS as it's now called, well, you'll have an issue, you still need to locate it. So you could, for instance, add a SharePoint References tab straight into the Add Reference dialog. Or you could create one that I personally really like, the SharePoint Console application. How many of you create Scratch apps where you just go ahead and want to type something to figure something out? Well, typically I do, all the time. And then I need to create a console app. And do you know the most painful thing in Visual Studio 2010? The console app is x86 configured by default. So you press F5, and then spfarm.local returns null because you're in a 32-bit process, not 64-bit, and blah, fails. So you have the SharePoint console app as a template to go ahead and basically drive that, sets the references for you, do stuff like that. Sorry? The test runner. Oh, that might be an issue if your test runner is also 32-bit, right? And you want to go ahead and hook that up. So let me go ahead and show you how to build a simple extension for for the SharePoint project system. And you'll just go ahead and appreciate how easy it is to do that. So we're going to new project. And next, we, of course, not going to create a SharePoint project. So there's this new node called extensibility. And you need to pick .NET 4.0. And we create a VSIX project, VSIX project 1, which is a very good name for me. And we can throw away this empty code file. So what you're going to get here is a VSIX project, and we have a VSIX manifest. And basically, what is that all about? It contains some information about how you want to go ahead and package up your extension, basically. So you have an ID, VSIX project 1, just name it a little bit more sensibly. Author, and that is not Microsoft, but that's me. And, your licensing, your versioning. And next below, you get what kind of content are you deploying. And out of the box, typically, you would go ahead and add a new project for deployment purposes. So we're going to create a new .NET class library, .NET Framework 4.0. Let's OK that one. And first of all, we're going to need some references into specific SharePoint extensibility assembly. So we say add reference. And the nice thing is that these are actually listed on this add reference tab, on the .NET tab, which notably is now a little bit more performant. But the most annoying thing is while it's loading up, you can actually not click on the component name to sort it. So you have a list of all kinds of assemblies that are unsorted, so you're never going to find it anyway. So you still need to wait until it's sorted. And, well, you have no benefit, right? Must be me, but oh well. So if you go down, we have Microsoft Visual Studio, and there we have SharePoint, and we just basically take them all. So that's the core, some utilities, Explorer extensions, and a command assembly. So what that is all about, I'll explain to you in a minute or two. So basically, just go ahead and hit them all in there. We take our class, and we call this an iSharePoint project extension. So there we have it. We have an interface. We need to implement that. And now the only thing that we need to do is we need to export this as my extension. Let's go ahead and give it a sensible name as well, project extension. And in order to export that, we're going to use meth. And in order to find meth, we actually need to go in here, and it is the system.componentModel.compositionDLL that you also need to reference. And now you have enough references to go ahead and say, we'll export this. So just insert the composition, and we're going to export it as a SharePoint project extension. So, of course, the SharePoint project system is going to call into meth, say, hey, can you get me all the project extensions for me? And just go ahead and get them all to me, and they're just going to go ahead and call initialize on you. So you can do all silly things like go into your project service. And next we can say, okay, what do we want to do with this project? And we'll get all kinds of rich options here. First of all, we could, for instance, say, I want to go ahead and I have my menu items requested event. So we can go ahead and hook up that event over here. Let me close down this one. And here we can start adding menu items. So we have two levels, action menu items and add menu items. So we say menu items.add, and we'll call it click me, and you'll get an I menu item back again. So you see how easy it is to add a menu item compared to doing traditional Visual Studio extensibility, which, well, would take at least 15 lines of code and an XML file versus a single event, add your menu item, be done with it. And, of course, we want to add a click handler as well. So we'll just go ahead and create a delegate for that. And we'll say messagebox.show. And, of course, the funny thing is that you still need to reference the system.windows.forms. There we go. Otherwise, there's not going to be any message boxing. So that's basically it, right? So it's going to be super easy to do. Now, the next thing that we want to go ahead and do, we want to add a reference into this project from my packaging. So you can basically see your VSIX as a packaging project. Go into your VSIX manifest, say add content, and it's going to be a meth component, and it's going to be my class library one. That's containing my meth stuff. basically save it all out, and that's all that we need to do. So we can now go ahead, press F5, and basically what will happen is Visual Studio will load up again, of course, because, well, we're creating Visual Studio extensions, so you can imagine Visual Studio loading up. But you can see there's no product registrations here. So this is going to be like your experimental instance of Visual Studio that is firing up. And, only my extension will only be available in there, so my native environment stays clean. So that's kind of a nice, well, nice benefit that you get out of that. Of course, this extension only works for SharePoint projects, so you need to say, okay, let's go ahead and create a new project. And it's going to be a SharePoint project. Notably, it doesn't matter which one you pick, 3.5 or 4.0. They're going to hard code that at 3.5 anyway, so you cannot make mistakes over there. We'll deploy as a farm solution. Of course, it's a best practice to deploy as a sandbox, but I'm still in my we deploy to the GAC and not to the bin mode, right? And we can now go ahead, right-click on your project. It's loading up all the MEV extensions that it knows about. And let's go ahead and get started with that one. Are you ready for me? You seem to be almost ready. One thing I did notice is I actually kind of have a nice, fast laptop with a lot of RAM and a lot of SSDs and stuff like that. But debugging Visual Studio is kind of a slow thing to do. And you can see that that's basically all that we needed to do to actually go ahead and start plugging into the system, right? So you see it's just a two-step process compared to how you would do that traditionally. It doesn't really compare anymore. You need to create VS packages, do all kinds of funky stuff to actually go ahead and get that to show. And you now have like a, well, 1.5 line experience to actually go ahead and start extending stuff. So this basic model, how easy it is to extend, keep that in mind because it's going to be as easy for all the different extensions that you can do. And I just want to go ahead and walk through the different levels of extensibility that this project system provides you with and a few different things that you can do with that. So the first thing would be to take the SharePoint Explorer and extend that. So if you take a look at the SharePoint Explorer, out of the box, it shows you, well, very little about SharePoint, I think. Perhaps not enough. I can think of web parts, site columns, not listed, themes, master pages, all these different areas that are very interesting for people to integrate and see, but it isn't listed yet, so it's going to be easy to add your own nodes doing that. So in terms of what you can do, you can extend existing nodes and you can create new nodes. So you can, for instance, go ahead and go into a list template node, add a right-click and right-click menu item to that, saying instantiate this list in my site, something like that. So for instance, a nice thing that you might be able to do is extend a feature node, right-click it, and say activate the feature, deactivate it again. So now you don't need to go into Visual Studio or into your browser, into SharePoint to do that. You just have it at your doorstep. And I think that's the whole story here. Bring it to your doorstep, right? So I've been talking a lot about OBAs, Office Business Applications, right? And the whole notion of that would be that instead of people looking for data elsewhere, it gets pushed down to them into the toolset that they use on a day-to-day basis. That's, of course, Office, Word, Outlook, that kind of stuff. So basically what we can do here is create OBAs for developers. And that's kind of definitely an interesting aspect. So how do you create new nodes? How do you extend existing nodes? How do you go about doing that? Well, it's going to be quite easy to do. It's going to be quite easy to do. You just create another exported interface, right? But before I go ahead and start to talk about that in depth, first you need to, well, envision a certain issue that you have with Visual Studio and SharePoint. One is 32-bit, the other one is 64. That's a little bit of an issue, right? One is .NET 4.0, the other one is .NET 3.5. Doesn't quite match up. So there's, of course, going to be this issue that if you want to integrate with SharePoint, which is, of course, all about, it's the SharePoint Explorer, then, of course, you might also want to go ahead and be able to call SharePoint. And out of the box, you cannot call SharePoint from inside the Visual Studio process. So what you need to do is you need to fire up another process. So how do you do that? Well, basically, they have something called the command infrastructure, or whether it's called that way, I don't know, but it is a command infrastructure. And it allows you to call into the SharePoint environment using a separate process. So there will be a separate process fired up called VSSPHost4, something like that. And basically, it takes your DLL, and it uses a remoting or WCF channel to communicate with that, meaning that you have both a 64-bit and a 32-bit part of it. And now you have some data marshaling to do to go between the different worlds. So now you need to create a command assembly and you also need to go ahead and create your extension itself. So if you take a look at how to create these extensions for Explorer nodes, it's always, for all the extensions, going to be the simple mantra, right? You create a class, you implement an interface, iExplorer node type extension, because you're extending node types, not particular nodes, not node instances, no, the type side column node, you're extending that, right? And next you need to export it using, basically that same interface definition. And for some extensions, you also need to have that Explorer node type attribute, giving it a specific unique ID. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. For instance, project extensions, you don't. So that one is a little bit easier. And now you basically get your initialize method, where you can hook into all kinds of events about this particular node that you're extending. So you might add some new child nodes to that. So that is, of course, going to be a possible thing to do. Add menu items, add some properties for the property window. So you might add some custom properties to whatever and basically have the rest of your code hook up to that and read out, some configuration values that people can go ahead and set. If you take a look at how you can create nodes, it's also not going to be, super difficult. Same type of approach. You have the same type of attributes being used, only this time you're building an Explorer node type provider. The first time I saw that one, you have a node type. And it's a node type provider. Okay, that's a thing, providing new types of nodes, right? So very easy to do. And you have the same type of options as you have over here in terms of adding menu items and properties and stuff like that. But you also have the option of initializing that particular type. So for Explorer nodes, you might want to set is always leave to true or to false. And that's something that your node type extension cannot do because he's not the owner of that particular node type, right? If you extend something, you cannot make it it's still a leave node. So that is something that we can now go ahead and start to do. In terms of, first of all, that command infrastructure, how you go ahead and communicate with that. So what you now need to do is you have your command, which does something in SharePoint. And that command basically needs to return a set of data. For instance, a list of web parts or a list of side columns or whatever. And if you now take a look at your class, you just create a simple serializable data class. In order to call into that command assembly, what you have is the SharePoint project service, which is basically your SharePoint environment inside Visual Studio, and where you can go ahead and say, get me my SharePoint connection, and basically go ahead and execute this command for me, using a little bit of generics for you, where you can go ahead and specify both the input and the return value. You have your command ID that you need to specify, and your input data, and you get your return value back as a typed object, right? So it's going to be very easy to go ahead and actually start doing that. And Visual Studio all discovers that using Math again. So it's going to be super easy to go ahead and start working with all of this all of this content. So let's go ahead and start creating some Explorer nodes. Let's go ahead and see. So we're over here. And the first thing I'll do is I'll add a command assembly. So add a new project. Class library. Notably, don't forget to put it to 3.5 because we'll be calling into SharePoint. Class library 2 is good for me. Now we go ahead and we need to add some references. So here's where the SharePoint tab would come in handy. It's not there. Too bad. So we need to say C : program files, common files, Microsoft shared, web server extension 14, ISEPI. We can look at the Microsoft SharePoint DLL that we're of course going to need because we want to read something about SharePoint. And now we also need to go ahead and add a reference into the command environment that the SharePoint project system understands. So that's going to be in the microsoft.visualstudio.sharepoint.commands. There we go. And now we can start authoring our command assembly. And it's going to be just that simple. I can go ahead and marshal all kinds of rich data, not so rich data, various things, of course, that we can go ahead and do here. Let's go ahead and see. What I'll do is I'll add a simple data class, class field info, make that one serializable. And we'll just go ahead and say public string title, do something like that. And now let's go ahead and create a command. So we're going to create a public static field info array, get fields. And the first thing you're going to get is a iSharePoint command context. So there we have our context, where we can read about the SharePoint environment that we're actually in. And getting fields, we don't need anything else but that. So we can go into contacts.web. And there we have all the site columns that we have. And we can, of course, use available fields instead if we like to do that. And we can say something like return dot. We take our fields and we'll say cast that into an SP field for me, please. And of course, we need to go ahead and include that namespace as well, right? So we need to go ahead and then say, let's go ahead and select that one down. And instead of my SP field, I'm going to go ahead and return a new field info that is going to contain my title is my SP field dot title. And next, I want to return that as an array. So basically, there's my command. So just a few lines of code to start integrating with SharePoint. And now we can go ahead and name this a SharePoint command. And we just go ahead and give it an ID. Of course, you need to be sensible in the IDs that you provide. So you want to have a little bit of namespace things going on with that, right? So I'm just going to go ahead and give it a really simple one. So that is basically all that we need to do on the command side. Of course, my class library needs to know about my data class here, which, of course, I should make public if I want to go ahead and know about that. And here's the thing that you actually want to do, but you cannot do that yet, and that is these data classes, these are pretty much tied to, well, SharePoint 2010 right now, right? Because, of course, my class library is compiled against the Microsoft SharePoint DLL, the 14 version. So it will be difficult to take tools to also support previous or next version of SharePoint. You want to go ahead and separate your contracts out. But as soon as you go ahead and do that, basically currently Meth fails a little bit. And they cannot really locate any utility libraries that you're going to be deploying. So you cannot do that yet. So you need to separate it out later on. So right now I'm not going to do that. So instead I'm just going to go ahead and add a reference into my class library too. And from there on, we can start using also my field info class. So we can now start to create a new extension. So we say first the site node extension. It was the Microsoft dot. There we go. Microsoft dot Visual Studio dot SharePoint dot Explorer dot. Explorer node, sometimes the names, they get you. There we go. So we extend a particular node. So we get the node that we're going to be extending. We're going to get that as a parameter. So we have our node over here. And we can add some child nodes to that. So there we go. Explorer node type extension. So we have our node type. And a node type has got a node children requested. So we can start pimping out this particular node. And now we're going to go ahead and take my node, and we can say, let's go ahead and start adding child nodes to that. And, well, what is the child node that we want to go ahead and start using? Well, first of all, we need to go ahead and create my particular node so that it is available. So let's go ahead and do that for a second. So we're going to create a new class called the field node. And it's going to be an iExplorer node type provider, providing new types of nodes to the SharePoint environment. We're going to go ahead and say, this is my field node. Give it an ID, right? Let's go ahead and do that. And now we go ahead and implement this one as well, where we can say, okay, if we initialize it, my type definition, we might be able to say, well, it is always a leaf node, right? So go ahead and set that one on there. So this is going to be easy to do. And now we need to go ahead and instantiate a bunch of these nodes based on my call into the SharePoint project system. And for that, most of the time, you'll find that if you take a look at your node over here, it either has access into the SharePoint project system directly, or you have a little bit of an indirect access to the project system. So here's my context, for instance. There's my SharePoint connection. And now we can call an execute command. The command ID or the command result would be a field info. And of course, my ID will be the command that we execute. So, and we're going to get a field info array back again. So using this approach, we can easily call into, well, basically the project system, instantiate a bunch of new nodes and go from there and explore all that stuff. And of course, we can also go ahead and say, well, let's go ahead and say node type dot menu items requested and add a bunch of menu items where we can say, okay, export this stuff or import into the project system, do stuff like that, right? So I'm not going to go ahead and complete this one, otherwise I'll run out of my time. Don't want to do that. But you can see how easy it is to start diving into basically both SharePoint using command assemblies, and also into, well, the world of Visual Studio, extending, for instance, the SharePoint Explorer. So the next thing that you can quite easily do is also add new SPIs, new project items. And here are some interesting things that you can do with that. Of course, an SPI, it's a combination. It is a folder. Perhaps Steve has talked to you a little bit about that. It's basically a folder. And in that folder, you have a bunch of files. And there's an SPData file called SharePointProjectItem.SPData. It's always the same hard-coded name. And it contains all the information about how, well, items in that folder get deployed, right? So if you take a look at item templates that you might want to create, like custom action or page layout or anything nifty and advanced, how do you go about doing that? Well, basically, you need to create various levels of extensions for this environment here. So the first thing that you want to go ahead and do is you need to create your template. And the interesting thing is you need to deploy that one as a zip. But you don't want to have the zip inside your project, inside your extension. You want to have the source files of that zip so you can go ahead and modify that. So you can change out the template on the fly if you're testing it and you see some bugs in there, right? So what you now have is a new package mode called VS package. So that's the build action. So you know build actions where you can say compile or it's content or it's none. So you also have VS package and that basically zips it up for you. So that's going to be very easy to go ahead and create your zips and work from there. And now your item template, that SPData file, actually contains an identifier. And that identifier points to something that is, well, a little bit of the code behind, right? That's the code that got executed in context of that SPI. When you add an instance of that SPI, your code gets hooked up to that. So two parts of creating a new template. So let me show you how to do that quite quickly. So I'll not complete this one over here. So I'll just go ahead and be a little dirty. Just go ahead and comment that one out. So I can show you a little bit of how to create a new item template. So for that, we actually need to go into the VSIX project, and we're going to create a new folder called item templates. And we might want to create a custom action SPI. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new custom action, work from there. And if you now go ahead, I need to have a few files available to me. So I created those files beforehand. So here's my SPData, my Visual Studio template file, all available. So we drop it all in here. And if you now take a look at these files over here in the property window, what we actually need to go ahead and do is all of these files need to be marked as build action content. Of course, your source files that you may have, you don't want to compile those. And your VS template, actually, you want to go ahead and turn that one to VS template. So as soon as you do that, basically this stuff will get zipped up for you. And you now go into your VSIX and you say, okay, I've got a new piece of content, namely an item template. And, well, you either point to a particular file or you can point to a particular folder inside your project system. So in order to do that most easily, you don't need to use this visual designer, which in some cases doesn't do anything that you would like to do with it. But instead, you can also go into the XML view. In the end, it's just an XML file. And here you can create a new item template. And you basically say the item templates folder that we have over there, that's containing my item templates, right? So for the rest, you can just go ahead and leave it alone. If you now take a look at this VS template stuff, and we go ahead and rebuild this, and the zip items fail. Why does it fail? I'm looking at an icon file, which doesn't exist, so I need to go ahead and remove the icon out of that. There we go. It's all correct, all functioning. So if you take a look at what it has done right now, so this is just to give you a pointer if you want to go ahead and start doing this. There's my custom action zip. Contains it all right, all nice and good. But if you now go into your bin debug folder, into your VSIX, which is notably an open packaging convention file, hey, there is no zip. It's gone, right? So what is happening here is that currently in the beta, it isn't really up to doing this quite yet. So you need to go ahead, take your project, you need to modify it a bit, because basically it is packaging it all up, but it's not putting that stuff that you packaged into the zip. So for that, we have this simple fix over here, where we can go ahead, we can take a new property group, which basically points to Visual Studio saying, hey, Visual Studio, we've got some added items to push into your zip file over here. So it's hard-coded also into the item templates folder. And as soon as you paste that stuff in, which is notably generic, so you can download that one from my blog, and you go ahead and rebuild that one. And we now open up the environment in my bin debug folder. There's another VSIX file. And now we see that we have an item templates folder, C#, SharePoint, SharePoint 14, 1033, custom action. So now your custom action is available inside. And of course, you have all the source files over here. So creating a new template, add a folder, set VS template as a build action, done. So you don't have to do anything to create custom and advanced build actions that way or create custom templates that way, right? So if you take a look at your SPData file, I think Steve hasn't really shown you the details of that yet. So what you have in your SPData, first of all, you have a type, which is an identifier. Next, you have information about all the project files where you can say, hey, this is an element manifest, and it will be deployed according to the name of the stuff that you put into the add new item dialog, right? So you have all that. You also have the option of adding some metadata here as a node. And that metadata is useful because what it allows you to do is take from inside your template, push some data into the SPData file based on that particular item that somebody is adding, like my custom action or my side action node or whatever, and push in some metadata that you can read and code as well because you can get to that. So we need to take this ID here, my custom action, and basically what do you do? Well, you go into your class library, right? And we basically go ahead and write up a class, public class, a my custom action, and now we need to go ahead and implement iSharePoint project item type provider. We're going to provide a specific type of project item. And this one is being annotated with the SharePoint project item type attribute where you specify that ID. And this ID that you specify is just going to be the same ID as in your SPData file. And that basically hooks it up for you. And now we can do starting to do interesting things over here because we have information about files being added into the folder of the SPI, for instance. So take a look at the module SPI. What does it do? It adds new files into your module as soon as you drop a file into that folder because it picks up these events, right? Also, file name changed. Interesting, if you change the name of the folder or files in the folder, what happens? And you also have at a higher level, if you take a look at a little bit more at the project service, we also have code refactoring events where we can hook into class name changed events. So we can actually start to do really advanced stuff. If somebody changes a class name that you need to know about in other places, you can go ahead and fix up all the places that basically use that class name as well. So this way, you have a super easy approach to start developing your own custom templates, including the code behind that goes along with that. And of course, from your type definition, if you want to go ahead and integrate with SharePoint, you have your project service, your SharePoint connection again, and you can start executing your commands again. So that's going to be another one of those areas where you have a pretty much an F5 experience to go ahead and get you going in terms of, custom stuff that you can do with that, right? So that's just going to make it, super easy to start creating item templates. Notably, if you take a look at this approach, right, a few things to note. How many of you typically would take a single XML file and push multiple side columns into that XML file together with the content type? I would do that myself quite quickly. But you can see that basically that inside that SPData file, you have the identifier that points into what is the code behind for this SPI. And of course, that code behind may or may not understand that if you take a custom action or a content type SPI, that it also contains side column definitions, right? So in terms of productivity, later on, in terms of tooling, you'll find that tools will actually take that SPData file, that identifier that you have in there, and use that to, for instance, show a visual designer for content types because it is a content type SPI. So if you want to go ahead and maximize tool usage later on, you want to start separating out all your different side columns and content types and all that stuff into separate SPIs, separate folders, basically, which may be, but that's so much folders. Yeah, well, who cares, right? Sorry about that. But first of all, it's kind of visible inside the Solution Explorer. So if you want to know where your address column is, it's over there under the A. So it's very easy and discoverable. So I like that. And also, visual designers will be able to hook into that much better than when you do it, by pushing it all into the same files, right? So that is one notion that you do need to start looking at in terms of how you go ahead and start building these templates. Also, in terms of doing visual designers, there's a guidance package released by Paul Andrew of Microsoft DPE, where he shows you how to create a list template visual designer using WPF. And it's going to be a nice guidance as to how you can show visual designers. Visual Studio is, of course, now WPF UI, so it just makes it a little bit easier to do. And that way you have a little bit of a notion how to go ahead and integrate with that, because that part is, of course, not managed by the SharePoint project system, so that's still going to be complex. It's still going to be calm, mostly. Question on that?
Do you have any influence
on when your event receiver will be called? For instance, if you rely on other tools like ReSharper to perform basic refactorings for you, and then you kick in after that? Good question. So the question is, if you have other tools like ReSharper that's also doing stuff, is there a certain order to the events so you can pick it up before or after them? I would guess no, big no. Also in terms of between extensions, no, there's no ordering that you can do. So it's a little bit, you need to be a little bit contained and not expect something to have happened, of course. So no, there is no ordering whatsoever in that. So here we see another one of those create project items. So you keep on having that exact same approach, right? So interesting stuff that you can do over there is, for instance, set your supported deployment scopes and trust levels, meaning that later on, if you go ahead and try and deploy something as a sandbox solution, and you have SPIs that are not available as a sandbox, then you can go ahead and have the validation call that out to you and basically break your deployment, right? So you can have all kinds of interesting stuff with that. And in terms of validation, that whole validation stuff is actually extensible as well. So you basically get all of that. So now if you take a look at deployment, what you can now start to do is also have more advanced deployment options. How do you create deployment options? Well, you implement an interface and you export it. It's going to be like the same approach again. A big difference here, if you take a look at deployment of content inside Visual Studio, it's actually a ubiquitous model for all kinds of project systems, right? So you have a deploy button for WCF, you have a deploy button for ASP.NET, you have one for SharePoint. And notably, packaging is MS Build based, deployment is not. Deployment is Visual Studio based, because there is this single deployment framework in Visual Studio that the SharePoint project system integrates with. So how can you go ahead and start doing custom deployments then? Well, you might want to have Xcopy. You might want to have solution upgrades. You might want to go ahead and refresh your site. You might want to reset timer services. You have all these different steps. And how do you do that? Well, you model a deployment step. Again, super easy to do. You have an iDeployment step interface. You implement it. You export it. And there you're done, basically. Now that step is going to appear inside the Visual Studio UI, so it is available to you. And now you have basic two main methods to implement, can, execute, and execute, where you first can determine if it's actually appropriate to do that deployment step or not, so you can skip over yourself. And inside execute, you basically start executing. Notably, this is, again, inside the Visual Studio process. So if you want to do something with SharePoint, you call something like e.sharepointconnection. And basically go ahead and call a command again to do that for you, so you do to do that marshalling manually again. So in terms of deployment steps, I can create a really basic one. So let's go ahead and not do this one. Public class deployment step. So what was that interface again? iDeployment step. So we say export type of iDeployment step, add the deployment step attribute. There we go. And now let's go ahead and start doing the deployment. Well, can execute, of course, is going to return true. Next, we have the execute, where we're going to say message box.show. Go ahead and do that. And the initialize method is something that we don't need. So in terms of building a step, well, let's go ahead and finish up code that is... Where is the incorrect item? Is it over here? Oh, there it is. Thank you. So that's all that we needed to do to create a custom deployment step, right? So we can F5 this one. And if we now, F5 that one, I always like to set my startup project so it's hard-coded to do that. And that's all that you do. And now if you take a look at this deployment step, it's going to surface up in Visual Studio under the deployment steps category. And from there on, we can now easily just go ahead and call that particular step as part of my deployment. So in terms of what you can do with that, well, all kinds of nifty stuff, right? I particularly like resetting all kinds of services that will need to be reset. So that's going to be a big one for me, because sometimes I'm looking at all kinds of stale code that I don't want to look at. So now it's a little bit more hidden for you. So we go into properties. And then we can go into SharePoint, and we have our deployment configurations, where we can say, okay, this is how you should be deploying, and there's the my step. So I'm going to create a new deployment configuration, take that one, take my project over here and say, oh, you should be using the new deployment configuration. And now basically we hit that single ubiquitous deploy button that is available for many different types of systems, for many types of projects, basically hit deploy. So it's going to go ahead and start, first of all, doing the compiling, the packaging, which is notably always performed. So you cannot say, don't do packaging. You could do that in earlier builds, but you cannot do that in the current build. Packaging is just a prerequisite for, well, all deployment steps, so it always does that. And now you see how easy it is to go ahead and integrate with the whole system of deployment, and only, of course, from Visual Studio and not beyond. If you do want to go ahead and go beyond, and if you take a look at what you can now do, you have two MS build commands. Basically, one is called package, and the other one is called validate package. One performs the packaging for you, which is dependent upon build. So it actually goes ahead and builds up your entire project for you. And the other one is basically calling the validation system, and you can actually add your own validation rules as well. So if you can go into cd colon dev projects, I have my dev projects over here. Dex, I have my, c colon users administrator, my documents, Visual Studio. Is there no Visual Studio? Oh, man. Where was my Visual Studio project? SharePoint project 2. Where are you at? You are at. It's documents. It's not my documents. Who knew that, right? There we go. No, not 2005. We need to go into Visual Studio. You have 2005, 8, and 10 installed. This is a little bit of a painful thing because your SharePoint or your SQL Server still uses the 2008 edition and not 2010 yet. And where 25 came from, I seriously don't know. That's a really old one, right? We used to use that back in the days, very long ago. So here's now my project we can call into MS Build. So it actually goes ahead and compiles all that stuff. Next, we can say the target is going to be target my packaging. So it does the packaging for you. So there you see there it has to actually copy files to the output directory, cleaning the package, performing all the files that need to be packaged, and performing the packaging itself, meaning that you can now get your WSP again, which is, of course, on disk here. And we can also say, let's go ahead and validate package instead. And all of this stuff, of course, corresponds to UI that you get in Visual Studio as well. So we have our package button over here, where we can do the packaging, the exact same thing that you're doing. And that validation is actually also available, so you can go into your packaging explorer, and if you do that, you basically get a validate package command over there. So you can do it from both worlds. And notably, that validation stuff is also something that can be automated, also through MS Build. So that's interesting because now at least you know that, for instance, you do the SP dispose check as part of your validation process, needs to get a little bit more confidence into the developers and what they have created and how it gets deployed into your environment, right? So you might get some warnings out of that that you want to go ahead and display to people. And now the next day that you get into work and your clean SharePoint environment, you can go ahead and figure that stuff out. So if you take a look at automating deployment, it's not there. So if you only can do packaging through MS Build and the rest can be extended, so easy to do, a little bit easy to do, not quite, I would say. First of all, PowerShell, most of it, I don't know if it's always the case, but it's running inside a 32-bit process, right? Meaning that you don't have any SP farm to access because it returns null. You're not in the right 64-bit process. So what you want to do is you do want to marshal something into a 46 or 64-bit process. That's the first thing. And also in terms of doing automated deployment, I would guess that typically you have a team system build server and you actually want to deploy to another server where SharePoint sits, meaning that add SP solution, of course, goes locally. It's not there, so you do need to connect some form of service over there to talk to from your build farm to actually talk to SharePoint to get it in there. So in terms of ease, not going to be super easy. In terms of things that you can do, buy a product, build it yourself, one of the two. And of course, that whole product does not need to be any super complex rocket science thing. A single WCF endpoint that takes a byte array, which is your assembly or your WSP, push it out on disk and says, add SP solution, done. You know, that's going to be like an hours of work, and then you have automated deployment for SharePoint as well, but not out of the box just yet. Perhaps in the future it will be integrated into Team System. So in terms of what you cannot do with all these tools, well, you can do what you have just seen. You can extend Explorer nodes, you can create project items, you can extend menu items on that, do stuff like that. But there's also a whole world of Visual Studio extensibility that you cannot touch at least not through the APIs that the SharePoint project system provides. You must envision Visual Studio to have a few layers of extensibility, where the most simple one is macros. Notably, these VSIX packages cannot deploy macros. That is one of the things that is not supported yet. Also, code snippets, not supported for deployment through VSIX. A little bit of a shame. We would like to have that as well. But if you want to go ahead and do more advanced stuff, like create a single file generator that takes a, well, for instance, a link to XML file and generate some code out of that as soon as you save your XML definition, they need to have a little bit more deeper integration at the ENVDTE layer, which is the Environment Development Tools Extensibility or something like that, DTE, which is a namespace in Visual Studio or a class that you can talk to, typically from inside macros and from inside add-ins. And next we have the lowest level of extensibility, which is something that you're most likely to start to use as well, which is basically hit the COM interfaces of Visual Studio. And using that, you can create new editors, for instance, new visual designers for XML files, visual designers for a custom action file, something like that. And of course, the biggest benefit is going to come out of doing that, and it's also still going to be the most complex. So for quick integration, you're good to go. For really deep integration, it's still going to be, well, complex to do, and you still hit, well, basically the COM layer that we have seen in earlier versions of Visual Studio as well. So that's basically some of the things that you can and cannot do with out-of-the-box Visual Studio extensions. I hope I gave you some impression on how easy it is to go ahead and hit F5 if you type your IDs correctly, at least. But you can see how easy it is to start extending stuff using built-in project types and an F5 experience that, well, was not really there before. So that's really awesome to see. Definitely an exciting thing. And also another exciting thing to take a look at is something that we have been doing for the past few weeks now, and that is to build a community set of tools, basically, that is going to build a lot of these things that you might need for you. If you take a look at what we all want, right, we want to have the SharePoint Explorer show a web part. We want to have Xcopy deployment. So basically, I've been building tools for, well, I don't know, about half a year now, something like that, and I've got some very exciting tools for you. Link to SharePoint integration, very exciting, meaning that you get an XML file in Visual Studio, and as soon as you save it, you get your code classes to call into that link system as well, so you don't have to do any external tools on that. The sandbox visual web part, where you can have the whole visual design paradigm, which is not available for sandbox solutions because you're not allowed to deploy ACX files, but you get the same visual design paradigm, only you're not deploying ACX file, you're deploying code as a DLL, which is supported, right? So we just do that whole parsing a little bit earlier on, instead of waiting until runtime, you do that compile time. Xcopy deployment, upgrades of solutions, auto deployment, also interesting, where as soon as you save an ACX file, boom, it's already in SharePoint, meaning you can refresh the browser and you're done. So that's going to be like a set of tools that we like to provide for you and also see some participation in, and of course some guidance whether we are taking the right approach to that. So basically, I started out building my own tools called the SharePoint DevTools, which is on Coplex, sharepointdevtools.coplex.com. And a few guys out of England were doing the same things. And well, basically, if you installed both our tools, you had two WebArt nodes and you had two Xcopy buttons. That's kind of like not nice, right? So we decided to go ahead and join up forces. Walek Mustikars, who is living here in Holland, who had some very cool extensions to the SharePoint Explorer, where you have a little bit of SharePoint Designer type of functionality to edit files as well, straight from inside the Explorer by double-clicking it. So all kinds of cool things, and we're now joining up forces into this single project called the Community Kit for SharePoint Development Tools Edition, cksdev.coplex.com. And yesterday we create our first release, or our first release schedule, I must say, because we're just now busy joining up our code bases, and we plan to have an early release out, well, somewhere early February. And it's going to contain, well, I think most of the commands that you will most likely need, namely stuff like Xcopy, right? You all need to have that one. So that's going to be in the box as well. And I hope to, well, first of all, get some feedback as to whether you like that tooling, whether you're actually going to be using that. And, of course, also what you would like to see in there, so we have a little bit of focus on what to build. You can join up with the project team and start building stuff out yourself. So it's just going to be a community project to drive home a lot of these extensions that you might want to build yourself as well.
What are your options if you're stuck with SharePoint
So you're stuck with SharePoint 27. What are your options? It's going to be a single word answer. None. This does not support SharePoint 27. It does not. Can it? No, it cannot. You could write your commands against SharePoint 27, but if you take a look at your project system, it's going to compile against SharePoint 14, right? So there's all kinds of issues with that. Your command assemblies will be targeted to SharePoint 14, not to 27, and to down version or to down redirect, binding redirects and stuff like that, it's going to be difficult to do if it's even possible. So Visual Studio doesn't support it and will not support it as well. So for any SharePoint 27-based development, you'll still be doing WSP Builder, Visual Studio Extensions, or whatever you do have. And for 2010, you can do this. Question? Yes, you can forget about CAML if you use the link to SharePoint class. Well, actually, my template does nothing for that, only make it easy for you to add link to SharePoint functionality to your project. So typically, link to SharePoint works this way. You have this separate tool called SPMetal. Put it to the metal or something. I don't know why they named it SPMetal. Still haven't figured that one out. It was already named that way in the 27 timeframe, right, when it's still a community project. And it's a separate tool, right, and it takes an XML parameter file. And what I basically created is a single file generator that takes your parameter XML file and generates code out of that by calling SPMetal only from inside Visual Studio, so you don't have to leave your working place and go to the command line and do it yourself. So that's definitely going to take away all your CAML pains that we, of course, all feel as SharePoint developers. We can all go ahead and hit on Mike because he's here. So you want to go ahead and show some CAML love, you should go over to him and thank him for all the wonderful years of CAML that you did get out of it, right? So I hope to have shown you a little bit of these extensions. If you have any questions on how to build them, if you want to see some advanced extensions and how Xcopy stuff works and all the different benefits that you're going to get out of these tools, come up to me. We will also cover it a little bit inside the post-conference where we'll talk a little bit more about SharePoint development things, including, for instance, ribbon development, how you can create ribbon buttons, how do you do that. Got some really great demos on working with that. In the meantime, thanks for your attention. Hope to see you again tomorrow. Well, there will be more sessions. And I think for today, there's only one thing left to do, right? Drink Belgian beer. Yeah. Wasn't that true? So let's go ahead and start drinking some beers, guys.